Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe or hit the bell icon. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Jens Hanse. Jens, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fritz. It's great to meet you, and thank you for having me here.
Yeah. Now, brief introduction who Jens is. He's the co-founder and CEO of Supertrends Institute, the main topic of today. He's a background in consultancy. And the people who can pick up that accent, he's a Dane by birth, but is living and working from Switzerland. So again, Jens, hey, welcome to the show. Maybe to start off, you can help us and the audience tell a little bit about your background. Are you a trends watcher yourself because you're the CEO of Supertrends?
Yeah, so thank you for that. So actually, I describe myself as a futurist. So trend watcher, I would rather use the word translator. So it's about seeing something and making it useful. So we see all these trends and new technologies, but it's really how we bring them to good use for ourselves and our organizations. So I would say trend translator, which is not really a title, but that's what I would call myself.
Okay, got that. Although you can always introduce a new title and be unique in the world, so people will, once that becomes in the common term, you're going to be top of the list.
Exactly.
But are you a trend watcher? Well, you're not a trend watcher, a trendsetter, a translator. But how do you become one?
So what you do is, so this is one of the interesting parts. So there are actually two studies in the world. There is in Texas, Houston, and in Hawaii, there are two universities that actually where you can become a futurist. Sometimes just studying something at university doesn't make you that. You need to apply that in real life. So how do you become a trend watcher, a futurist, or a trend translator? You observe what's going on and you make sense of what you're seeing related to where you are in your life and what your ambition is, what your journey is planned to be. So being really curious is a very good skill. Being, playful, being experimenting, these things are good so that you test things off for size and you find out what works. Now, you can't just play around all day. So also you will apply some skills and some tools. There are a huge range of tools that we as futurists are doing. So there are the three horizons and there are many different tools that I can mention that are helpful when we, unfold our skills in front of a group of people, let's say it can be a group of decision makers, and help them to see, actually, we don't talk about the future. We talk about the futures. We always use a plural because there's always more than one future. Just give you one example. There is a possible future. There is a probable future. And there is a likely future. Then, of course, you can add a desired future. But there's many futures, there's not just one. And the thing about the future is we create it. So we may think we can look into the future, that's fine, but it has to be our creation.
I got that. So this really strongly reminds me of scenario planning, also is an exercise which organizations do. So how does this differ from, I would say, classic scenario planning?
So actually we work with mindsets, skill sets, and tool sets. So scenario planning is one of the great tools that we use. Okay. When you become good at, let's say, this tool and other tools, you get skills that are helpful. But the real power turbocharger, the booster of all this, is your mindset. So you can be curious and optimistic, or you can be hesitant and nervous. And if your mindset is in any of those rather two extremes, you will see different things, no matter what tool or what skills you have.
Yeah.
So Scenario planning is one important tool, but it's just one in many, many different tools.
So that's one of the tools in your toolbox. And is this, because you also the CEO and co-founder of Supertrends Institute. So take us a little bit through what you do. And is this what you just described, what you offer to the community?
Thank you. So Supertrends Institute is a futures thinking and learning platform. Mm-hmm. It's where we teach our members to explore the future and for them to craft more ambitious strategies, basically for themselves and also for, of course, their organizations. But you need to master some ambition yourself in order to be ambitious on behalf of somebody else. So this is what we do. And now you mentioned earlier that I have a consulting background, and that is true. However, we believe today, as we are going into this area, that being a little of a provocation, but basically the people who we call the frontline workers, which are people who are making decisions in businesses today, in primary businesses, doing production and transport or many other things, they are frontline workers. They actually sit with problems today that no consultant can actually help them with because it's going so fast and the challenges they have. So what we are doing on this platform is we are bringing people together from all over the world that are seeing the same type of challenge or opportunity and bring them into contact with one another. And we help them to have the most helpful conversations they can have in order to become better equipped to either overcome a challenge or go for an opportunity.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, by bringing all those people together, it's not just you telling them, hey, this is happening. You're describing what I would call collaborative research or collaborative knowledge sharing. So it's a journey everybody together is following.
Yes, so this is really important for us. So we create what we call future fit circles. To be future fit is to be good at all the things I've been talking about with the mindsets and the skill sets and the tool sets. So that you can, we also talk about this as, so this amount of change and ambiguity and complexity that we have, you can see this as if you stand on the beach and there's this big wave coming at you. You can do two things. You can just let the wave hit you and you may survive that, or you can very quickly run with your surfboard and come up on that rather wavy waters and be able to be on your surfboard, to be on top of all these things that are happening. That is what we're trying to accomplish with our members so that they feel that they can surf, and we are helping them to do this by having facilitated conversations where we take whatever problem they are bringing. That's center. So we are not bringing the any lectures. They are bringing a challenge. I can give you one specific example. So let's say that you are in a business and you really want now to master digitalization better. Let's say you want to master it in your products. And you've done this navigation part I talked about. So you have seen, there's this new 5G. So 5G can make a difference. It may not be fully ready, available all places in the world, but we know it's coming. So we better think about it. So we take this and we zoom in on, okay, what does that require? We make sense of that whole technology and where we are with our products and development. Now, having made, let's say, some decisions around how we could use this. Now we go into strategizing and we make a more ambitious strategy than we could before based on that we are going to introduce 5G into our products. What now follows is really important because everybody can make a plan. You have to make the plan real. So we have a mobilization phase that we help people to come through where it's about accepting that we want to introduce change. So not only want we to be inflicted by change, we are introducing change in our products, in our business, in order to stay afloat.
Yeah, what I pick up is actually this is where the mindset is so important. People want that change to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
No, exactly.
I got that. Now, I want to come back to something you mentioned just earlier, which triggered me, that there are even universities out there training you to become a trend watcher or a futurologist. And also in Europe, we have universities who offer that. We even have Trend Watcher of the Year awards. And it always surprises me that we have those awards, that there's a whole bunch of trend watchers out there, and almost all have work. There's a lot of things to do. Now, when I started to work myself 30 years ago, there was only one trend watcher, and that was a guy who showed great technology on a TV show. And I loved that program, but he was the only one out there. So what's happening that we all of a sudden see so many trend watchers out there, and somehow they all, there's a need from society for those people to be there? Why is that?
So I think that more and more people are feeling the change and the complexity, the ambiguity in their life, in their work, in their societies. And when they then feel that I need to be able to work with that. So being a good, let's call it a trend watcher, gives you skills and abilities that can make you more successful. So remember the surfboard I talked about before. Yep. So it's basically being able to stand on that surfboard when everything is shifting and changing, that you can manage that. And then the way that you go forward in your life will be because of the change, you are benefiting from the change rather than being, let's say, negative about the change, because it's, you have to consider something new all the time. Actually, we have a word that we use for all this, and we call it to be future fit. So it's like you go to the future fitness center and you get future fit by doing all the things that I have been mentioning. So I think it's because people feel that it's unruly, and they know then, there's actually some skills I can learn to navigate this. So I guess it's like, if we take a totally different scenario, in the very old days, if you knew that you needed to survive, you needed to be able to go into the forest, you need to be a good hunter. And you needed to learn to survive by learning to be a hunter. And it's basically, for me, no more difference. This is a survival skill of today.
It's a survival skill of today, so you're helping and coaching people to survive. And it also seems like a mental coach, because rationally, we all know we're going through this transition, the whole digitization of society. And what I'm observing is we rationally already know that we're in this transition from a command and control to a connect and collaborate world. But where the issue is a lot of people have that mental model that success is being king of your empire, being on top of the rock. And now all of a sudden, that is not the future anymore. And people struggle with that knowledge that's the future is changing, you know, with different metrics for success. So does that also apply for you personally?
So personally, so now I've chosen to, let's say, be able to be on my surfboard. So yes, now so coming back to my original background as a consultant, I totally see this shifting. So I, as I mentioned before, I believe that consultants are very challenged in showing up at any client today and be as helpful as they were earlier. Earlier, consultants were bringing models and methodologies and different things that were quite stable over some years. What you need to bring today has a much, much shorter lifespan and a much more dynamic. So for me to create this whole institute have been where I needed to change the whole business model of consulting. So you can say we are consulting, but we have turned it upside down. So we are saying consulting of tomorrow is to bring the right frontline workers, the decision makers for how tomorrow needs to look like together. So that's a big shift.
That is, and was it a big shift for you as an individual?
Yes, so it's so interesting. Actually, when we first founded Supertrends Institute, it was in late 2019, so just before the pandemic started. And we started off as being, we know consulting and we just need to do this, this, that, and then we go. Then we came to March 2020 and it was clear that we were not going to go anywhere. So then actually I was reacting to a huge change because the whole basis for the company we were going to create just disappeared. And that's where I then I had to go. So I'm living here in Switzerland. I have the opportunity to go for some long hikes in the mountains and think things through. And then I thought, why don't I make this change a benefit for us? Why don't I use, I had no idea how long the pandemic would be, but it was clear to me that it wouldn't just go away. So I thought, we have a few months, let me bring those months to good use. What then happened was that as I was trying to put our team together, which is actually globally, so we are 36 people in 16 different countries, Asia, Europe, South Africa, and the Americas. So it's been very interesting. Those people were all consultants and they were going nowhere. So we had time to connect and experiment. That was a unique time. So that was me being able to react, think on my feet and make something that was actually a problem, an opportunity.
Okay, got that. So I believe it's a Chinese, crisis is, it's both negative and positive because it's also an opportunity and you made it, turn it into an opportunity.
Exactly.
Now, in this case, I was just wondering, what does success to mean to you in this case, for you personally and for your organization?
So success for us means that we can show up and be helpful. So we have decided that we are bringing these mindset, skills, and tool sets. And so success for us is that we can see that businesses that are great at what they do, that we can help them not to make the same shift as we do, but to make a number of shifts that, first of all, to see that they need to make a shift.
Okay, so how does that relate to a question you once raised on a stage? How can we celebrate humanity and at the same time embrace technology?
Technologies are becoming more and more powerful and they are driving our world. Now, many of the existing and emerging technologies, they're so powerful. Just think about like quantum computing. If that becomes reality by tomorrow, there is not a single security system in the world that cannot be broken down in microseconds. No security code, none of the systems we have today will be secure because of the immense computing power. Earlier, we had to deal with the technology of nuclear explosions, mm-hmm. Even before dynamite. But we have so many technologies today. Some of the latest ones are gene editing.
Yep.
All these have a positive side and a negative side. We can take one that many of us have been exposed to over the last 10 years. It's all our global social media platforms. So the balance between technology and humanity for me is we have such powerful messages between our hands that we need to find guidance in our humanity. So that is in our values, in our ethics, in our basic cultures and morale, that will have to govern us. Yes. And we need to have, conversations around some of these things, as complex as they are. We need to say, okay, now gene editing, of course, is fantastic because it can be used to personalize the cure of cancer and a whole host of other things. But we could also design designer babies. Now, how do we balance these things? Only humanity, only our value systems can actually give us the guidance we need. So that's, for me, the balance we need to be much, much, much better to debate.
I fully wholeheartedly agree with you. Do have a question, who at the end of the day provides that governance? Is that something we do as an individual? Is that an organization? Who do we turn to?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So I have wondered myself, being in the business of change, that our political parliaments, they have basically been as they are for 200 or 300 years. And so part of my answer here is what we know as being politicians should be our guardians of values. Now, I think that we need to work in that field because we are seeing that politics are not playing out as nicely as it could in these years. So there is a need for change in that area. But for me, it's a society. Every society is based on a load of values, and we need to come back to some of those values. We need to have some of those debates. Now, much early on, many countries were governed by the values that came out of religion. I'm pleased personally that we have separated that in many aspects, but still there are some fundamental values that we all share across nations, across the world, and we need to uphold those. So one of them is like the value of privacy. The other one is a value of being allowed to be an individual of free thought. And we can very, very easily compromise a lot of that. And we can see some of this happening today in some of the, let's take some of the obvious platforms. The biggest ones are Facebook and Twitter. And they are now starting to penalize people who don't follow their rules. Now, I would like those decisions actually to be debated in a parliament,
yeah,
and be enforced by regulations. I'm not a lot for regulations per se. I actually like a lot of freedom, but there's some things today that we simply need to find out how to deal with, because otherwise we can have technology for bad and not technology for good.
Got that. Okay, that actually is a whole different new debate in itself. So I won't go down that route because I have two more questions for you before we end this great interview. First of all, Jens, where do you draw your inspiration from?
So I draw that with, so now we are having a wonderful conversation. So to be in conversation with people, I myself a very open person. I like to be in conversation. I like to be challenging people. I like to be challenged. Like in the moment, sometimes when you are challenged, you'll be all up and about, but basically you learn from it. So I do get inspiration from literature. I buy loads of books and I don't, you know, sit down and read them very slowly. I speed read books and then I know basically what they hold and I come back to them later. And then of course, to be in environments that are different from my own environment. So normally we call that traveling, but it can be also now in these days, we are having video sessions with people from different parts of the world. And so I learn a lot from when we are together, 36 people from 16 different countries in our small platform company. I learn a lot from the different perspectives, just the way that people would ask a question. And that gives me inspiration to, I didn't think of that. So so that's where so a lot of it is just from being, exercising my knowledge and my viewpoints. And then it's being with in environments and with people that are different from myself.
Got that. I very much relate to that. So I hear what you're saying. So last question, yes, for you. Any advice to young managers who are starting their own journey? What's your advice?
Yeah, so I think when I remember when I was young, I was driven by a dream and not like a very blurry dream about, you know, all kinds of success. But I think that it's important that you're driven by something within you and you hold on to that. And today it can be a purpose, it can be anything, but hold on to that inner drive. Now, at the same time, as you are ambitious, go step by step. Don't go too fast. Learn, learn, learn. Don't, let's say, jump too fast, too high. And then surround you, as I just said before, as a manager in your team, whenever you come to a point where you can get to select some of the people in your team, select somebody who is different from you. Don't select your best friend, kind of, but select somebody that you know will be creating troubles for you, because you will learn from that and they will make you a better manager. And then we actually, in Supertrends Institute, we have this little saying about managing anything. Don't try to manage something that you don't know how to do yourself. So I'm not saying you shouldn't go for the stars. I'm just saying go step by step. You have a lot of runway in front of you. Use it, because you will be much, much more happy in your progress.
Great advice, Jens. I want to thank you so much for giving a little bit of insight how organizations, how people can deal with the future. It's a chaotic time we live in. There's more than enough room we see for people who think about the future, and very helpful that you at least given us some help and support how we're going to get there. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.